Hello, and welcome to your GCSE Business Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most consistently examined topics across every single GCSE business specification. Sources of finance. Whether you're sitting AQA, EdXL, OCR, or any other board, I can almost guarantee this topic will come up in your exam. And the good news? Once you really understand it, it's one of the most logical and rewarding topics to answer. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's make sure you walk into that exam room feeling completely confident about how businesses raise the money they need to start, grow, and survive. By the end of this episode, you'll know the difference between internal and external finance. You'll be able to evaluate which source suits which business, and you'll know exactly what examiners are looking for when they award those precious marks. Let's get started. First things first, what do we actually mean by sources of finance? Simply put, it's the different ways a business can raise money. Every business needs finance, whether it's a brand new startup buying its first equipment or a well-established company wanting to expand into new markets. The key skill examiner's test is not just whether you can list these sources, but whether you can evaluate which source is most appropriate for a given business in a given situation. Now, the first big distinction you must know, and this is a classic exam trap, is the difference between internal and external sources of finance. Internal sources come from within the business itself. There are three main ones you need to know. Number one, retained profit. This is profit that the business has already made and kept back, rather than paying it out to owners or shareholders to reinvest in the business. It's often considered the best source of finance because there's no interest to pay and no loss of control. However, and this is crucial, retained profit is only available to businesses that have already been trading profitably. A brand new startup cannot use retained profit because they haven't made any profit yet. Examiners will deduct marks if you suggest retained profit for a new business. Remember, no trading history means no retained profit. Number two, selling assets. A business might sell things it owns, like old machinery, a spare building, or vehicles it no longer needs, to raise cash. The advantage is there's no interest or repayment. The disadvantage is that once you've sold an asset, it's gone, and you might need it again later. Number three, owner's savings. The owner puts their own personal money into the business. This is very common for sole traders and partnerships starting out. The advantage is there's no interest to pay and no loss of control. The risk, though, is entirely personal. If the business fails, the owner loses their savings. Now let's move on to external sources of finance. These come from outside the business, and there are many more of them. Bank loans. A business borrows a fixed sum of money from a bank and repays it over an agreed period with interest. Bank loans are great for medium to long-term needs, buying equipment, premises, or funding expansion. The downside is the interest cost, and the bank may require security, called collateral, before lending. Overdrafts. An overdraft allows a business to spend more money than it has in its bank account, up to an agreed limit. Overdrafts are ideal for short-term cash flow problems. For example, a business waiting for customers to pay their invoices. However, overdrafts are expensive in terms of interest rates and can be recalled by the bank at any time. Share issue. Limited companies and public limited companies can raise finance by selling shares to investors. The investors become part owners of the business. The big advantage is that there's no interest to pay and no obligation to repay the money. However, the original owners lose some control of the business, and profits must be shared as dividends. This source is not available to sole traders or partnerships. Trade credit. This is when a supplier allows a business to receive goods now and pay for them later, typically 30, 60, or 90 days later. It's essentially a short-term, interest-free loan from suppliers. It helps manage cash flow without borrowing money. The risk is that if you don't pay on time, you damage your relationship with the supplier. Hire purchase. A business pays for an asset like a van or machinery in installments over time, rather than paying the full cost up front. The business gets to use the asset immediately, but technically doesn't own it until the final payment is made. The total cost is higher than buying outright due to interest charges. Mortgages. A mortgage is a long-term loan specifically secured against property. Businesses use mortgages to buy premises. They're repaid over many years, typically 15 to 25 years, and interest is charged throughout. Government grants. The government may provide grants to businesses, particularly new startups, businesses in deprived areas, or businesses in certain industries. The fantastic thing about grants is that they don't need to be repaid. However, they're competitive, hard to obtain, and often come with conditions about how the money must be spent. Family and friends. Many new businesses are initially funded by loans or investments from family members or friends. This is often more flexible and informal than a bank loan. However, it can damage personal relationships if the business struggles to repay. Now, a really important concept examiners love to test is matching the source of finance to the purpose and the type of business. Think about it this way. If a business needs money for just a few weeks to cover a temporary cash flow gap, an overdraft or trade credit makes sense. If a business needs money for 10 years to buy a factory, a mortgage, or long-term bank loan is appropriate. Using a short-term source for a long-term need, or vice versa, is a classic mistake that loses marks. Right, let's talk exam technique because this is where students often lose marks they really shouldn't. Tip number one, always read the context in the question. Examiners will give you a business scenario. Maybe it's a new bakery or an established manufacturing company. The source of finance you recommend must fit that specific business. A new startup can't use retained profit. A sole trader can't issue shares. If you ignore the context, you will not access the higher marks. Tip number two, always evaluate the cost of finance. Every source of finance has a cost, either a financial cost like interest, or a non-financial cost like loss of control or loss of ownership. Examiners want to see that you understand these trade-offs. For example, issuing shares raises large amounts of capital but dilutes the owner's control. A bank loan maintains control but incurs interest payments. Tip number three, don't just identify, analyze, and evaluate. For questions worth 6 marks or more, simply listing sources of finance will only get you into the lower mark bands. You need to explain why a source is suitable, consider the advantages and disadvantages, and reach a justified conclusion. Use connective language. This means that, as a result, however, therefore, the most appropriate source would be. Tip number four, know your command words. State or identify questions, usually 1 to 2 marks, just need a correct term. Explain questions, usually 3 to 4 marks, need a reason and a consequence. Evaluate or justify questions, usually 6 marks or more, need balanced argument and a clear supported conclusion. Common mistake number one, confusing internal and external sources. Remember, internal means from within the business. External means from outside. Retained profit is internal. A bank loan is external. Get this wrong and you'll lose easy marks. Common mistake number two, recommending retained profit for a startup. It's one of the most common errors examiners report. A startup has no profit history, so retained profit is simply not available to them. Common mistake number three, forgetting to consider the size and legal structure of the business. A sole trader cannot issue shares. A public limited company has far more options than a small partnership. Always consider who the business is before recommending a source. Time for a quick fire quiz. I'll ask the question, pause, and then give you the answer. Ready? Question one, name 2 internal sources of finance. The answers are retained, profit, selling assets, and owner savings, any 2 of those. Question two, which source of finance is not available to a new startup? Retained profit because they haven't made any profit yet. Question three, what is the main disadvantage of issuing shares? Loss of control. The original owners must share decision-making with new shareholders. Question four, which source of finance would be most suitable for a short-term cash flow problem? An overdraft or trade credit? Question five, what is the difference between a loan and an overdraft? A loan is a fixed amount borrowed for a set period. An overdraft is a flexible facility allowing a business to go into a negative balance up to an agreed limit. Brilliant work getting through this episode. Let's do a quick recap of the key points. Sources of finance are either internal, from within the business, or external, from outside. Internal sources include retained profit, selling assets, and owner savings. External sources include bank loans, overdrafts, share issues, trade credit, hire purchase, mortgages, government grants, and family and friends. Always match the source to the business context. Consider the cost, financial and non-financial. Remember, retained profit is only for established, profitable businesses. And in evaluation questions, always reach a justified conclusion. Use this memory hook, the acronym RASO for internal sources, retained profit, assets sold, savings of the owner. And for external sources, remember, BLUTS GHF, bank loan, loan from family, overdraft, trade credit, share issue, government grant, hire purchase, family and friends. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past paper questions. And remember, the more you apply your knowledge to business contexts, the higher your marks will be. Good luck in your exam, and I'll see you in the next episode.